This is All Things Considered on New Hampshire Public Radio. Good evening. I'm Brady Carlson, and we close tonight's show with a farewell to a reporter who has caused more than his share of driveway moments on this program. In his more than 11 years at NHPR, Dan Gorenstein has hit the campaign trail with presidential candidates, tracked historic debates at the State House, even once followed the supply chain of mozzarella cheese for a series on food. He has found stories of Granite Staters that sometimes left us laughing and sometimes left us with lumps in our throats. After all that, Dan is moving on from our newsroom to report for Marketplace out of Philadelphia. But before we send him off to his new job, we thought we'd get a few of his impressions and observations about what he's learned in this job. And so here he is, Dan Gorenstein. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Brady.
You spent part of today going through some of your most memorable stories, and among those are, no surprise, a lot of stories from the State House.
Right.
Let's hear a clip now from a story you did during this latest round of negotiations on the state budget.
Marianne Starkweather sustained a traumatic brain injury when she was 18. Starkweather has severely limited mobility and is in a motorized wheelchair. She says cuts over the past several years have made it difficult for her to fill prescriptions. She fears this latest round of proposed cuts would make it almost impossible to afford the aides who help her around the clock.
I need more money. I need money for my medication. And my people.
Belt tightening in challenging times is a good thing.
Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson.
But it is not moral to unilaterally tighten the belts of other people against their will and to their detriment while allowing ourselves to go scot-free.
Representative Kirk, you've been through lots of these sorts of budget hearings. Anyone, Republican or Democrat, grows accustomed to hearing people come up and tell these very tragic tales. How do you both listen to them, but then keep your eye sort of focused on what you have to do?
I don't sleep well. It is very difficult to do this because you know that real people, indeed friends and neighbors, are going to suffer as a result of the decisions that at least the House has to make.
Kirk, whose eyes welled up as he spoke, said he takes solace knowing that when a final budget passes, some of the, quote, very difficult to live with reductions will be modified.
That story brings to mind the difference between the popular perception of lawmaking versus the reality. And as someone who has seen that up close, how do the perception and the reality match up?
When it comes to making a budget, it's intensely personal, at least in New Hampshire. You've got 424 lawmakers, and they know their constituents. They oftentimes know people who are coming in, and they can see these cuts are going to hurt people. We are in a political season right now when there's a lot of rhetoric, but what you actually get when you have these individuals, these volunteer legislators making tough decisions, is you have real people making decisions that affect their friends and neighbors.
Another story that you revisited, and I did too today, was a story titled Parentified, which listeners may also remember by the name of the little girl who's at the center of the story, Lexi. Can you tell us a little bit about Lexi?
Sure. Lexi was adopted as a young girl, but before she and her two younger brothers were adopted, Lexi lived a very difficult life where she was often left alone to take care of her brother, even as a four-year-old, was left alone to take care of her two younger brothers. And it had a huge impact on her to the point where she would pluck out her hair, an anxiety-producing condition called trichotillomania. And we're going to hear a piece of tape right now where basically Lexi and her mom and I are in the bathroom. And that's where this part of the story takes off. Yeah. Over the last year and a half, Lexi's hair has grown in. It's down to her shoulders.
You can tell that she's proud of how she looks now.
Your mom told me that you spend a lot of time in the bathroom with your hair.
Yeah, I like to brush and make it beautiful. Sometimes I do a lot.
She's just a girl who wants an average life. She wants to be what every girl is. She wants to be the princess.
Fire girl.
She wants to be the fashion star.
Police girl.
You know, she wants to be a mom someday.
Do you want to be married?
Yeah.
You're going to have kids?
Yes.
How many?
18.
I asked her when she grew up, you know, what she thought her husband was going to be like, and she said, I don't know, but he's not going to cut up my clothes and throw my computer out the window.
And with that, Rebecca's reminded her daughter's not out of the woods.
The last two nights, Lexi had nightmares, And she's shaking and she's crying and she's just heartbroken.
In those moments, Rebecca finds herself stroking her daughter's hair, hoping someday the nightmares go away.
What do you think a story like Lexi's tells us about New Hampshire or about the state of things in New Hampshire?
What it says to me and how it ties into kind of what I've learned about the New Hampshire character, there's a lot of pain in New Hampshire, but it's hidden. In New Hampshire, you don't flaunt. You don't flaunt good. You don't flaunt bad. You know, you walk by Lexi, you wouldn't know anything about her. She, you know, a lot of times she just looks like this happy little girl. And in some ways, I think that's indicative of the state that we live in here, where there is more that you have to pull back. And something that I really admire about this state as sort of a community and how people really do try to come together and help each other in small, quiet, but profound ways. And I think that's part of how Lexi speaks to what we have in this state.
You've been tracking a lot of changes at the Department of Health and Human Services, and especially lately about the move to a managed care model for Medicaid. Can you first explain why this is something that complex as it is, we're going to want to keep an eye on going forward?
Sure. I mean, this is historic. I mean, this is a huge, massive change in how the state runs its Medicaid program, which is a program for many, many low income and many of its sickest citizens. And we need to watch closely and carefully to see, are these people still being taken care of? Are they getting the services that they need? Is New Hampshire actually able to turn a page and provide better services for less money, which is what the Department of Health and Human Services certainly hopes is going to happen and what they believe is going to happen.
Let's hear a little clip about this issue from a story that you put together for Marketplace.
What makes Medicaid more confusing is that it's kept expanding, like when it first started in 1965. It covered people with disabilities, low-income seniors, poor kids from broken homes, and their caretakers. Then, beginning in the 90s, children up to 18 start getting added. Now, in 2012.
So that's the first time I've ever heard Whoop There It Is combined with a story about Medicaid managed care.
And a little music in there from the Beatles. Yeah, no, I know, exactly. And, you know, I mean, when you're doing these stories, Brady, you have to have fun. One of the things I'm excited about with Marketplace, and one of the things I've obviously been thrilled to do in New Hampshire Public Radio, is find creative ways to make these really sometimes wonky and impenetrable stories accessible to people and interesting to people.
As you head off to this new job, what do you think you're going to take away from this one?
You know, I'm going to take away a lot, Brady, and sorry I'm getting choked up here. I've met some amazing people. I can honestly tell you, Brady, that if it wasn't for the wonderful, wonderful people that I've worked with, the lawmakers I've been able to interview, the nonprofit folks, the regular people, folks have just come forward and they have given of themselves. And I just really wanted to say to people, thanks. Thanks very much.
Going forward, he's a reporter for Marketplace. To us, he will always be NHBR's Dan Gorenstein.